The clock is ticking on Democrats' efforts to pass key parts of President Joe Biden's domestic economic agenda. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi set the latest deadline for the bipartisan infrastructure package at the end of this month, less than 5 days away. But moderate and progressive Democrats still haven't reached agreements on key elements of the party's social safety net package, slowing down progress on both proposals. It's the week in Washington. We'll find out what's in, what's out, and how Democrats want to pay for their plan to increase social spending. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you support a smaller, more scaled-back version of the social safety net package, though still big? Do you want to see policies that address climate change as part of it? How about a child tax credit extension? Would less expensive childcare help you and your family? And hey, how about paying for it all? Do you want to see tax increases? If so, on who? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Scott Wong is a senior staff writer at The Hill covering House leadership. Scott, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Rob. Good to be back with you.
What is the latest, Scott, on negotiations between House leadership, Democratic leaders, and the rank and file of their party trying to come to votes on these packages?
Well, it feels a little bit like Groundhog Day. I mean, they keep saying that they're close, that they have, 90% of it done. And yet each day that passes, there's still no deal. And today is much the same. We are approaching, a couple deadlines here. Joe Biden leaves for Europe tomorrow. And so he for a big climate conference in Glasgow, Scotland, he'll also meet with the Pope, probably to talk about climate issues, among other things. And so he wants to have a deal in hand, and he has basically begged Democrats to come up with a deal before he takes that trip overseas on this big social spending and climate package. And so their meetings continue. He met with two key senators, Senators Manchin of West Virginia and Sinema of Arizona last night. He's had some House members over to the Oval Office yesterday as well. There are talks continuing to happen in the Capitol where I am currently. So there are signs of progress, but as of now, there's still no deal that has been clinched.
A big change is the size of the social safety net, the human infrastructure package, as the Biden administration called it at some points, down from something like $3.5 trillion over 10 years to 1.8, 1.9-ish over 10 years, depending on the latest details. What kind of things have dropped out to bring that price tag down?
Yeah, I mean, one of the big ones was a big priority for President Biden and a number of progressives up on Capitol Hill. Free community college for 2 years is out of the package. We know that for sure. Biden has indicated that in private meetings as well as publicly in a recent town hall. The other big key issue that is out is $150 billion for a clean energy program that had really been a centerpiece of his green energy initiatives. And so there are other efforts to combat climate change that will be in this package. What's emerging right now is about $500 billion for initiatives to take on climate change. That's what he wants to be able to bring over to this international climate summit, which starts October 31st, next week. He wants to be able to make a big speech on that stage and say, look, this is what America is doing to combat climate change. Other nations need to be doing the same. If he goes empty-handed, he is arguing to Democrats that that's going to be a huge embarrassment for the country and for the administration.
There's been a lot of focus also on proposals aimed at helping parents in this spending bill, things like child care accessibility, child tax credits. Where are those as the overall package gets pared down?
Yeah, what we know is, Nancy Pelosi has a 90% of this package is complete and basically signed off on. Of course, it's that 10% that is proving to be the toughest part of the negotiations. But we do know that pre-kindergarten will be in there. That was a huge priority for not only educators, but also progressives, as well as more funding to help people with childcare, as well as with elder care as they take care of their aging parents. One issue that has been scaled back and really trimmed down is that child tax credit. Families in Wisconsin and other places may have noticed that they're receiving hundreds of dollars each month to help offset the high costs of just having children. And so that is known as the child tax credit. That was part of that CARES Act that passed the Congress earlier that funded a child tax credit for 1 year. Well, in this next package, they're looking to extend that child tax credit. They had hoped to do it permanently. That was really the wish list of the progressives. But it looks like because of demands from some of these like Manchin and Sinema, that will really be pared down to only a one-year extension. So a bit of a disappointment for progressives who had really hoped that they would be able to permanently extend that child tax credit and give American families a boost in their bank accounts each month.
Talking to Scott Wong, senior staff writer at The Hill, looking at some of the top stories in national politics. And this week, as with many recent weeks, that means the two spending bills, the infrastructure one, the social spending and climate change one, still getting closer, still not done yet. You can share your thoughts on what's in them, how to pay for them at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Mike is with us in Milwaukee. Mike, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. So I'd like to see both bills scrapped, jettisoned entirely. Washington is completely reckless with the money that they collect. Why would we keep giving more money to a drunken sailor who will just blow it at port?
Mike, thanks for the call. And Scott, a lot of Republicans in Congress, I think, would like to see both of those bills scrapped or significantly pared back. What are we hearing from opponents of the packages, not just bits of them, but opponents of especially the social spending package?
Yeah, definitely. That is a comment we're hearing from a lot of Republicans who are concerned with the nation's debt crisis, that are concerned with too much spending in Washington. We had thought initially that the infrastructure bill would be able to capture, dozens and dozens of Republican votes on the House side, as it did pretty well among Republicans on the Senate side. But the longer that these negotiations have been drawn out, the longer that Joe Biden has said that these two bills must pass the Congress together, that has really turned off a lot of Republicans from that infrastructure bipartisan bill. And so we're expecting really only a handful of Republicans at the end of the day to join all the Democrats to pass it. And absolutely zero Republicans will support the much larger social spending package. Republicans see that as really, opposition to that bill as really a good campaign issue to campaign on ahead of the 2022 election.
Mike, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Michael now in Appleton. Michael, hi.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. I really just have sort of a two-part comment. There are just kind of two things that I don't understand, not about the bill, but just as a progressive and generally Democratic voter, I find myself incredibly frustrated with Manchin and Sinema, and I don't understand why they won't get on board with the rest of the Democrats to pass things. And I guess the other thing that I don't understand, which is more a direct comment on the bill, is why Republicans will support things that bills like tax cuts when they're so concerned about the debt, but they won't support spending that will help millions and millions of Americans, things that will help millions of Americans far more than some tax cuts, and they're suddenly concerned with the cost.
Mike, thanks for the call. Or Michael, thanks for the call. Scott, Michael's first point, he's probably not alone among progressives who consider themselves Democrats in frustration with Senators Manchin and Sinema.
Yeah, in fact, I was just talking to some progressives today, Jamal Bowman, of New York City, as well as some others who were expressing exactly that frustration with Manchin and Sinema. You know, it's been months and months of negotiations, and they believe that every time they sort of reach agreement on an issue, you know, they move the goalpost or they bring up another issue that they're opposed to, and it's sort of, you know, whack-a-mole, and there's no real resolution to it. And so, you know, if you ask Manchin would say that he's representing West Virginia values, West Virginia voters. He says they want, you know, fiscal responsibility. Obviously, he represents coal country in West Virginia, and therefore has been opposed to a lot of the energy initiatives that the Biden administration has been putting forward. And so, you know, this is the political reality that the Democrats are facing right now. They only have 50 senators, and they need every single one in order to pass anything. And so that is why these two senators, the centrist senators, the ones that are causing some trouble for the rest of the Democratic Party, are getting so much attention, not only from the media, but from the president himself. I mean, they are over at the White House, meeting with the president, meeting with his top staff almost every other day. And that's because they absolutely need these two senators on board if any piece of the agenda is going to pass the Congress.
Thanks for the call. We're talking to Scott Wong. He covers House leadership for The Hill. He's with us for our weekly look at the top stories in Washington. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Coming up, we've looked at some of the spending side of these bills in Congress. We'll look at the revenue side, calls to increase taxes, especially on the wealthiest Americans, or bump up corporate minimum tax rates. Love to hear what you think of either or both of those ideas. Call in at 800-642-1234. Would you support those kind of tax increases in general to help pay for these particular packages, or do you worry they might be counterproductive? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We're picking up our look at the top stories in national politics. Scott Wong is with us, senior staff writer at The Hill. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on the infrastructure and the human service and climate change packages in Congress right now. What do you think of what they spend money on and how they raise money? Join in at 800-642-1234. Scott, one of the latest ideas, something like a wealth tax to help pay for part of the costs here, the social spending package. We talked about that on the show yesterday. I want to give a listen to Democratic Senator Joe Manchin talking about the idea of any kind of taxes focusing on billionaires in particular. He's speaking yesterday here at the Economic Club of Washington, D.C.
The way we're moving pretty soon, anybody's not a millionaire, don't worry. We're not fooling with you at all. We're going to get all these people up here. That's not America.
So Manchin saying these wealth tax-like ideas divisive. What's the latest on the revenue side, Scott?
Yeah, if you remember, you know, the reason we're in this position is because Senator Sinema originally said she was opposed to tax hikes on the wealthy and to corporations. So tax writers went back to the drawing board. They came up with this new idea, a tax on billionaires, as people in the Capitol have been calling it, a billionaire's tax. Well, you know, that would tax billionaires, basically profits that billionaires make each year on their stocks, not necessarily capital gains when they sell it, but it would be an annual tax on any sort of, you know, money that they make. And Manchin has decided to pour cold water on that idea as well, saying he just doesn't like the idea of taxing, you know, a specific group of people. In this case, that group of people are about 700 billionaires, but he doesn't like a targeted tax going after, you know, individual people. Obviously, it's driven progressives absolutely crazy. They've been after taxing billionaires for quite a while and having them pay what they call their fair share. So this is now the second iteration where the tax writers are going back to the drawing board, and now they're really going to have to start getting creative to figure out how they're going to pay for the package, given that President Biden has said he wants it fully paid for.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Charlie is with us in Milwaukee. Charlie, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Number one, I'd like to say it's great that you have a guest from The Hill as a news maven. I find The Hill one of the more unbiased and very fair reporting out there. So sure enjoy having someone from The Hill available. I'd also like to say just in general that for the billionaires tax is that several years ago, the state of Maryland proposed a millionaires tax. They would only tax the millionaires to get rid of the deficit in Maryland. But the Maryland millionaires ended up moving so that they ended up decreasing the wealthy person's tax base in Maryland and actually making the situation worse. A billionaire is going to figure out how to shelter that income, and it's only going to hurt in the long run if you target them, as Joe Manchin is trying to prevent. Thank you so much, and good luck.
Charlie, thanks for the call. Scott, is that an argument that's been brought up, the idea that we might drive out billionaires or just move them into different ways to shelter their money from a new kind of tax?
First of all, I'd like to thank the caller for reading The Hill, and we try to be straight shooters at The Hill and play it right down the middle. On his comments about the billionaires or even a millionaire's tax in Maryland, where I live, you know, that has been a concern, is that, you know, these billionaires, they certainly have the money to the best tax minds. They will try to, you know, find other loopholes to evade paying taxes. And that certainly is something that is being discussed in the Capitol. You know, that you know, these guys will be able to find other ways to be able to hang on to their money. And so I think that is something that lawmakers are looking at very closely as they're writing this legislation. I mean, the problem is, of course, that they're trying to do this in a hurry, pressure not only from you know, the media, but President Biden himself, and they're trying to get a deal and get this wrapped up quickly while also trying to write very, very complicated tax policy and try to consider all the different scenarios that could happen, you know, based on that legislation.
Thanks for the call, Charlie. We'll go to Dan now in Franksville. Dan, hi.
Yeah, I don't think we have to worry about the politicians with making decisions, because, you know, didn't the railroads pretty much run the country back in the late 1800s? And how much money is actually being passed around there? I mean, to worry, you just give them a bill with a check. I mean, that's what ALEC was all about, I guess, the American Legislative Exchange Committee. Is just, I mean, if you want to get elected, you have to get money. I mean, the system seems rigged even back in the 1800s.
Dan, thanks a lot for the call. Scott, Dan worried about the influence, I think, of money and maybe lobbying on political negotiations over something like these spending bills. Is that something that people have been raising as a concern here?
Well, as you know, Rob, we're talking about, over the course of this year, trillions of dollars in spending that either has been passed through the coronavirus relief or is being considered through the infrastructure package and this human infrastructure package. And so that, of course, attracts, you know, numerous lobbyists to these issues. And many of those lobbyists are working overtime to ensure their issues are being addressed. And so just to give you an example, you know, it looks like dental coverage will be out of any sort of Medicare expansion proposal in this Build Back Better plan. It's entirely possible that dental, vision, and hearing will all be scrapped and that there will be no Medicare expansion. That's one of the things on the table. And the dental lobby was really pushing hard to ensure that dental was not included in this Medicare expansion. The dentists themselves believe that their argument was that the paperwork and the bureaucracy would be too onerous for them to have to deal with Medicare. And so that's just one example of a special interest, in this case, the dentist and the dental lobby, finding success in trying to change this legislation. And that's happening across the board with many different issues.
Thanks for that call. In our last minute or so, Scott, what are you watching for next on all these issues?
Well, to see if they can get something done in these next sort of 48 hours, really a critical period. It's not only Biden going to Glasgow, Scotland for this climate summit. There's an election on Tuesday in Virginia in the governor's race between Terry McAuliffe, the Democrat, and Glenn Youngkin, the Republican. And, Democrats want to have some kind of momentum. They want to have a couple victories heading into that election day. Right now, there's just a lot of infighting in the party and a lot of frustration. That's not a good place to be if you're Terry McAuliffe. And Democrats want, that's going to be a bellwether election for how the rest of the 2022 cycle goes. And Democrats would love to be able to hold on to the governor's mansion in Virginia, really something that has been a red state that turned purple and now is considered a blue state. If it were to go back to the Republicans, that would set a strong signal that Republicans have enormous momentum in 2022.
Scott, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again.
Thanks, Rob. Take care.
That's Scott Wong, senior staff writer at The Hill, covering House leadership. He was with us today for our weekly look at some of the top stories in national politics.